Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. This is LeVon Breland. Thank you so much for listening to tonight's broadcast. If you're listening by the internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, please leave your name, number. I'm sorry, if you need to give off the internet, you can dial 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. I'm delighted to be with you tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think he done took me into another direction that he want me to go. Amen. And so, amen. I just sense the presence of the Lord so strong in this direction. So I thought I was going to go one way, and I guess he wanted me to go another way. Amen. So sometimes it's really our ability to be sensitive to what he's doing and what he's saying that makes the difference. Amen. So I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get in the Word tonight. Of course, you know we are developing and getting ready for the Sovereign Compass, which is the end of the year teaching to give focus for the coming year. And I'm just delighted to be able to share with you the Word of God. So tonight we're going to be talking about the revelation of the Word of God, the revelation of the Word of God. And just talk about some different approaches, give you a lot of factual information, but when we finish, I believe we're going to take another place in the spirit. Amen. So just stick with me. Amen. 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 I think this will be a very educational lesson for you tonight. But we're going to be dealing with the revelation of the word. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of your presence. I thank you that you're God and God all by yourself. Father, in this time that I share under the unctioning of your Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in advance and for all the things that shall be accomplished. Now, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that the words that you and I speak, Father, are going to produce what you have purposed for it to produce. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought that I might make manifold known the wisdom of God. I yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say tonight. And I thank you, Father, that revelation knowledge would flow out of the abundance of your word that has been stored for this particular dispensation. Let your word go forth in power and utterance, be magnified through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you, Father, in everything that is accomplished and revealed, be glorified. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our appreciation of God's written word must be given a heightened matter of attention. And in the coming days, the Father has prompted me to revisit some essentials of biblical fundamentals preparing for the close of this year, particularly because there is a sharper judgment upon the earth, and those that are in the scheme of the scene of his will must be legit. Lately, we have been disappointed at the various forms of utter defiance toward the primary elements of Christian faith, and we must focus again on the means of contention strategically. It will awaken through the revelation of the word. Although this lesson may seem very basic, I believe that it is essential essentially relevant. So taking another glance at some highlighted themes that will occur. Now, when you begin to embed your heart in applying God's word to your life, it is a decisive decision to be disciplined. Because God does everything in decency and in order, we can consistently follow him and glean from his order and achieve the knowledge and wisdom and understanding needed to capture what he intends to reveal to our hearts. And it is our confidence in God to do what he does best, that is being God all by himself, that sharpens the axe of our understanding. So we have to take again a glance at the word of God. And it begins with the written word of God. And then from there, then God will illuminate the revealed word of God. Now, these are some essentials to establishing a solid foundation for the word having proper place in our lives. Because for the word of God to have proper place in our life, there must be a sincere attempt to prioritize the word of God on an everyday basis. Because faith will not awaken within the heart until the word of God is seen in perspective as it is revealed within the intent of Scripture. The intent has to be right. So then finding time for the word of God is the greatest form of spiritual discipline you could ever achieve. For the word must be seen more than just reflecting on passages of a great sermon. Fellowship in the continual atmosphere of the word of God will result in confidence toward God. And in the strongest voice of the will of God. Listen to this. The strongest voice of the will of God is the written word of God. So when we focus our development in the word, in the presence of God, which becomes a greater form of reality, revelation of the word will be seen as our final authority. So we have to purify the intents of our hearts. We have to produce the faith needed for the divine intended quality of life. We have to perfect our conduct through the process of sanctification, and we have to provide the power to perform the natural by yielding our members to obey what the Spirit has to say. And then we have to place a passion to proclaim this impact to the others that surround us. Amen. So one of the things, there are five things that empower the study of God's written word. There are effects that happen, because anytime you look intently into the perfect law of liberty, let me take you to that scripture. Amen. Glory to God. I believe it's in Galatians. Amen. Let's see, 1 second, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. For time's sake, I'll go on, but let's rather go to amen. First Peter chapter 1:18-23. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do ye believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto undefiled love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth in you. Of course, you know the scripture says that if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be given. Of course, you know in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 6, it tells you, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that ye might grow thereby. If so ye be, have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also lively stones are built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Of course, you know, in John 6:63, it says that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus speaking, they are spirit and they are life. So in the word of God, there is power. There is power to proclaim the word of God. There is power to experience the word of God like never before. And there are signs that that power, once you've looked intently into the word, perfect law of liberty, it is able to provide your soul. That you don't have to really bear with me, because I'm hearing so much from the Lord as I'm teaching. I want to go into many different areas, but I'm focusing on what he wants me to do, amen. But I'm excited because the word of the Lord is magnified in the hearts of his people, and today we're seeing God's word take a proper place like never before. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for the word. Let's get into these empowering reasons. Number one of the things that is going to happen when you get into the word of God. Now, why you may ask as ministers, am I discussing over these fundamental truths? Because it's been prompted that the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak, and we must be strong in the Lord and in His power, according to His might and not our own. We have to be able to have an underlying power that awakens the necessity to take light to these various things. You know, I'm listening to a lot of people experience some very tragic and traumatic things in their lives. And we as the people of God have to get back into the Word and really hone down on what the effects will happen. Well, let me give you these five effects. Number one, spiritual discernment. It will help you distinguish what exactly is from God and what is subject to the demonic activity, a personal opinion and personal opinion. The only reliable source is the Word of God, which gives you us a comprehension of the voice of God and confidence built through time of recognizing His voice will align us with the Word of God. So the Word of God, when it's in effect, one of the first signs that it will give you is spiritual discernment. You can look at Ecclesiastes 8, 4 through 6, Malachi 3, 16 through 18, 1 Corinthians 7, 2, 13 through 15. And, of course, you know, it tells you in Hebrews 4, 11 through 13, it's a very good one, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom ye do have to do. And so, of course, you know that he gives a good example of what it means. And see, God wants us, like according to Hebrews 5:14, to develop that strong appetite off of strong meat, that we're able, that of full age, even those that have by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. And so God wants to then take us to a place of spiritual discernment where we can see clearly. And then when we can see clearly, then we'll be able to eat things clearly, ingest those things that He has for us, and that's going to come through spiritual nourishment. And spiritual nourishment is when the Word of God is seen as something that will make you grow, fulfill that hunger for righteousness. And when you resolve to study the Word of God, you will understand the Spirit of God, who will reveal insight from His written Word. And, of course, you know, Proverbs 4 through 5 lets us know that we should retain the words of God and keep the commandments and live. Get wisdom and get understanding, forget it not, neither decline thy ear from the words of his mouth. And then, of course, you know, in 4:20 it talks about incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Of course, you know, the word of Scripture tells you in John 15:14, they abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No one can no more can ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, that same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he cast as a branch and is withered, and a man gathered them and cast them into the fire. They were burned, but if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein then is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And of course, you know, that's some great words to let us know that this will help us grow. That there's an expectation from God that when we receive His Word of God, that it will grow. And the first thing it's going to produce is faith, for faith cometh by hearing. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it goes to another level and says, how can they hear without a preacher? And blessed are those that preach the gospel. So it's important that we as the body of Christ know why we're doing this, and that power that has been released as a result of us actively engaging into God's word will give us spiritual discernment, and will give us spiritual nourishment. Next, it will give us spiritual sensitivity. Spiritual sensitivity is developed after the discipline of the study of the word of God is made applicable to everyday affairs with an emphasis on personal conduct, communication, and this is only resolved by being led by the Holy Spirit, which is introduced to us only by the written word of God. Of course, you know, you can read Galatians 5:16-26, walk in the Spirit that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can also go to Psalms 43:2-4, which says, for thou, O God, art my strength, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning of the oppression of the enemy? O send out the light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then I will go into the altar of God and to the God of my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. And, of course, you know, Ephesians 4 tells you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And of course, you know, that spiritual sensitivity will teach us how to deal with our brothers and our sisters. And then, of course, fourthly, is spiritual authority, a sovereign act of God that graces mankind prior to birth to fulfill instinctively and righteously his will, his written will. Once the individual will realize the power of being submissive to the Spirit of God. So we already see four dynamics that happen when we allow God's word to have power. Of course, you know, John 6:53, Jesus said that the words that I speak, they are alive and they are full of power. They are spirit and they are life. So if they contain the essence of God that makes God who he is, we need to take note to bring life to living by the word. And so I believe that this day, the repetitiveness in my emphasis of the written word of God being the strongest voice of the will of God, once we allow God's word to have proper place, we will see it grow and go and lead us to the places that have us. But, you know, this last one, this fifth one, is very important to us. Not only do we get discernment and nourishment and authority and sensitivity, but we also get perfection. This is not often taught in the church because many people haven't attained it. Of course, you know, perfection in the Bible sense is attained to a state of superior maturity, which is an act of God's permitting. Of course, you can go to Hebrews 6:1-3 and get the call of perfection. But we also are sure that Jesus assists us in the process because he perfects the things that concerns us. And that perfection also is going to be acquainted through the power of the Holy Spirit. What we believe will be displayed by our actions, not merely our words. Our profession of truth is not acceptance of truth. Beliefs are always seen first in our behaviors, and we must live out this Christian life. It is the expectation of God for our lifestyles, the pattern, the leadership that we follow, which is his spirit. The steps of a good man are not suggested by the Lord. They are ordered by the Lord. And it is a tragedy to nullify our own voice convictions. Don't voice anything that we can't live. That's what we must resolve. Especially for preachers, we must live what we preach. You know, I was listening to a person that said they would admire one man because he would often tell him, don't do as I say, but don't do what I do. But, you know, I found, even listening to a tape earlier, that God gives us grace to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. And I believe that we're coming into an era once we get into this word of God, that there's coming a remnant amongst the body of Christ that is going to exist in such a superior state of righteousness, which comes from perfection, maturing in the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus, that we're going to become faultless and be able to present ourselves to an all-holy God that can't look on sin. Why? Because the power of God's word. Now, I've given just five basic things: discernment, sensitivity, nourishment, authority, and perfection. But there are many more facets to looking intently into the word of God. It is that word that causes Jesus' identity to be qualified as our Savior and our Lord. Of course, you know, it was in the beginning that there was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and it became flesh. And if we beheld glory to God, its glory. And anybody that looks intently into that word will behold the glory of God. Now, I've been talking about looking intently into the perfect law of liberty. And so in James, and I want you to write this down so you know it, James 17:27, it says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. But be ye doers of the words, and not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And it gives us the formula, glory to God, to what empowers us to walk out this word. And it's found in this statement alone: but whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man, and that word shall, this changes the connotation of the sentence, it shall be. It means that if this happens, if this man looks perfectly into the law of liberty, continueth therein. That's number two. Number one is look. You got to look into the word. Number two, you got to continue in the word. And that's where many people fail. They don't continue. Then it says, look, don't be a forgetful hearer. Glory to God. But a doer of the work. Now, it didn't say just a doer of the word, but it says a doer of the word because it's established in the forefront that if you are a doer of God's word, you're going to produce God's results. A doer of the word, this man shall be blessed. And we got to get back into the word of God. And so once we're in the word of God, there's going to be a revelation that comes out. And a revelation is sent to do several things. Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading and exhortation to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. I know that by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is having us discuss this as ministers, so that when we will continue in the written word of God that sets forth the blueprint and the prayer plan that God has for our lives. Glory to God. And so there are things that happen that awaken the revelation. First, we become prophetically aligned through the discipline that is revealed through the order of God's written word. And because the strongest voice of the intent of God's will is his written word. And when we allow that written word to have proper place, it will develop a discipline in us, because God designed the word of God to give us direction so that we can incline our ears and our hearts to this type of understanding and go further in his voice and in his things. Amen. So, look, we've been empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to understand the word of God. Of course, you know, Philippians 2 tells us that it is he that causes us both to will and to do his good pleasure. And we have been given that. Our revelation awakens paths for our lives, and we are established by the divine guidance, which is his providence, God's providence, to preordain our steps that we can accomplish his will by his means and his ways. It is our path that outlines the believer's ability to attain the revelation of God's priority, his will, his modus operandi, his kingdom. So no one can distort that prophetic path that awakens this revelation when we have the word of God as final authority, because our eyes are looking intently into his written word. So we can decipher what truly is of him and of someone else because we have a relationship with the word of God. So it is the manifestation of that word that causes the prophetic declaration of the Messiah to become the identification that we have through our redemption. And the source of our salvation enables us as believers to confidently live by his word and be led by his spirit, which is sent to reveal his word. So revelations are hidden truths released by the permissive will of God. The revelations are not merely comprehension of truth, but a manifestation of the spirit of truth that allots divine wisdom through the truth to yield to divine understanding. Revelations are often seen as profound riddles, which is not set to be interpreted, but manifested. Revelations on a matter directly merits authority in a matter, which can never be duplicated. And revelations are solely spiritual. You must look into it with a high form of reverence toward the roles, the rights, and the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit. There is no way you're going to get into this realm that I'm talking about until there are several things that are in place. And I'll close on this note. First, you need to have a reconciliation with God. You need to make sure that you're in right standing with God, that God can easily call your name and you can say, here I am. Secondly, you got to have a remission of the sin through its nature. And you have to learn to resist the devil so that he will flee from you. Thirdly, you got to know your redemptive rights and privileges as a child of the Most High God, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus through his word. And then righteously, you have to exist with God. And the only way you can exist with him is to be in his presence. And then you have to rely on his resurrection power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I believe that the word of God has been given tonight to declare to you the importance of receiving these revelations that can only come through the written word of God. Time is out, sons of God. For us to be relying on words that we don't have any confidence in, that are speculative because of the people that transmit these theories about what God's voice. It's time for us to go back to the word and to live by the word that we see with our eyes, so that when faith has a right to take on its seat, it could give us hope for the things. It could give us evidence for the things hoped for, or substance for the things hoped for and evidence for the things not seen. We are on an era of faith, but it's going to come by revelation. Because, you know, the natural man cannot obtain the things of God. They're spiritually revealed or discerned. And we're entering into a greater realm of spiritual authority. Now, it's only going to come through the written word of God. Let me pray with you. Father, my heart's desire tonight was to spark this dunamis power that is able to explode faith in the lives of your people as they make a disciplined and determination, divisive decision to live by your word. Hallelujah. I pray, Father, that the utterance of the Holy Ghost would saturate and permeate their being, that they will be full of your word, so that your kingdom on earth can be a direct reflection of what's going on in the heavens. We praise you and we magnify your name because your word. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the words that I speak, the meditations of my heart, would be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' precious name. Well, there's a special announcement coming from the president of Urban Glory Campaigns. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is Lavon Breed, and thank you for listening to tonight. But don't go away. The president of the organization is going to make an appeal to you and close the program for tonight.
Hello, Raymond Remnant Radio listeners. This is Sabrina Olivia, president of Urban Glory Campaigns. I trust that you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. Dynamic lesson coming from Reverend Lavon Breland, our founder and the CEO of Urban Glory Campaigns. Tonight, I sent a special invitation for those of you who the Spirit of God has already dealt with your heart concerning sowing into this ministry. And I'm not just talking about finances, but time. Your time, resources, your knowledge. Many of you are in different areas of business, different areas of occupation, and you can contribute your knowledge base concerning those areas of business, of finances, of marketing, of various forms of ministry. Contact us. Tonight, we call us 24 hours a day. We have a system that will record your message, and we'll get to one of our ministry representatives, and we will contact you within 24 to 48 hours. Call 202-630-4842. That's 202-630-4UGC. Also, you can email us, urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com. Or go to our website, www.urbanglorycampaigns.webs.com. And we're also on Twitter. We're on Facebook as well. You can contact us on just about every social networking site that is there. Also, ministers in the D.C. metropolitan area, and those of you who are planning to come into the D.C. metropolitan area next weekend, next weekend's event is postponed until 2011. But don't be discouraged. 2011, we will have the Ministers Fellowship event, and it will be dynamic. I'm not just saying that as the president, but being involved in the planning process and knowing the heart and the vision of the founder of this ministry and that event, as well as the Urban Glory Campaigns Ministers Coalition. Check us out online. Go to our website. Go to the page for Urban Glory Campaigns Ministers Coalition. You can also find out information on our social network. So contact us concerning the coalition, and we will definitely contact you concerning the various events that are coming up, any questions that you have. And those of you who the Lord has dealt with your heart concerning sowing into this ministry, partnering with this ministry financially, and with your resources and your various gifts and expertise, contact us. You can call tonight, you can call tomorrow. Contact us, 202-630-4UGFAITH. I know you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. I'll continue to listen in on Rema Remnant Radio. We will have various types of broadcasts coming for you, for your edification. This is the broadcast with the minister in mind. Have a great night. Tune in on Thursday night at 10 p.m. sharp for another Rema Remnant Radio broadcast. Have a great night. Bye-bye.